You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, we got the state, we got the national. We cover down on all the issues, man. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. So I'm in this section right now, and I've done this before. I title it Weaponization of Government. When you start looking at the different agencies that are taking on roles and using oppressive tactics that you never would have expected or should be allowed, for that matter. In fact, they're probably not allowed. I would dare say most of these are truthfully a violation of the law because they violate civil liberties, things like due process, freedom of speech. But there's somebody who knows this kind of stuff firsthand and has dealt with it and is dealing with it again. My friend Becky Gerritsen is the executive director of the Eagle Forum here in Alabama. She had, if you remember, been on the show multiple times. She was literally at the center of the flashpoint around the Lois Lerner scandals that took place with the IRS persecuting conservative groups back about 10, 12 years ago. And now she's in the middle of things again. The DOJ subpoenaing 5 years worth of records from Eagle Forum for daring to support legislation that would prevent transgender therapies and surgeries on minors. How novel is that? Well, it's an overreach, and they're fighting it, and I'm glad. And I wanted to get an update. It fits right into what we're talking about. So without further ado, let me quit talking and bring on Becky Gerritsen. Hey, Becky, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on again. It's always fun to be with you.
Thanks, Becky. Well, listen, update us if you will. And if you might want to just back up a little bit and remind the audience what all it is that the DOJ is demanding from you in a lawsuit that you're not even a party to.
Well, that's it. Oh, it's just so crazy. So like you said, we helped draft and supported the bill that would stop the puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and sex reassignment surgeries for minors in Alabama. It was a great bill, but shortly after it was signed into law, some parents got together and sued the state. And a few days after that, the Department of Justice jumped in and said, hey, we want to join in with these parents and we want to sue the state. You know what their agenda is, and they want to promote these transgender therapies across the country. So we are not a party to the lawsuit at all. During that hearing, at the very beginning, after the law was first, it was signed into law, they had a hearing to stop the law from going into effect. And the judge actually ruled to allow that puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones can still happen right now in Alabama. There'll be oral arguments coming up in November to decide for real what's going to happen. But anyway, they enjoined that part of the case. And during that hearing, the judge just kind of flippantly asked towards the end of the hearing, he said, so who wrote this law anyway? And the state of Alabama stood up and said, this is a work product of the Alabama legislature, which is true. It was a great answer. Even though we had a big part in writing that, it was a team effort, but we had a big part in it. Well, we get a subpoena in August from the DOJ saying that they basically heard through the grapevine and through some public statements that we had helped write it. So now they want 5 years records of emails and communications with our legislators about this bill. They want records of meeting minutes that we would have had. They want to see all of our Facebook posts, all social media posts, any newsletter that we would have sent out. Any presentations or videos, interviews they want to see. They want to see the medical research that we did to write this bill. I mean, this is unprecedented.
Yeah, it really
that
is.
They're fighting whether this law is constitutional or not. So our communications with our legislators, that it doesn't even matter. So
let me ask you this real quick, though, Becky. I mean, First of all, you guys are a 501c4, is that correct?
Yes, we were doing this under the C4, where we can lobby and we can advocate for a good policy.
So you're doing what the government has already sanctioned. You're doing exactly
yes.
What the government has already approved you to be able to do, which is to lobby and to advocate on behalf of causes that fit your charter, which is exactly what you were doing, which, by the way, is no different than having, on the opposite side, the liberal spectrum, they do it all the time. In fact, they probably do it far more egregiously, to be honest with you.
Right. And it is our constitutional right also as citizens to be able to do this. And this is, we are a large but volunteer-driven grassroots organization. And we have the right to be able to do this. And they should not be asking for these. So we filed a motion to quash, meaning, no, we are not going to turn over this information because it violates our First Amendment. And the DOJ and the plaintiffs wrote back why we need to turn this over. And then yesterday we filed our reply to their response, basically explaining in detail why, again, we do not need to turn this over. And it's just going back and forth. But on October 14th, we will have a hearing. The judge will hear both sides and then make the determination whether we have to turn these documents over.
I think one of the things that's interesting too, Becky, is that you guys are fighting it, first of all, which I'm so glad. I mean, y'all have never been known for just rolling over. It's not in your nature. It's not in Equal Forum's nature or yours personally, I know. Mm-hmm. But the reality is too, you guys have been joined by any number of other groups who have signed on to amicus briefs, which is what they call an amicus curiae brief, is a friend of the court, someone who has an ideal or interest in the process going on, and they write briefs in support of a position. Well, you've had a ton of support coming in from non-parties saying
all across the
this
nation.
Can't happen. Yeah. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah. So there was an amicus brief that was filed. I want to say, I think the press release said there were over 50 organizations that signed on saying we support Eagle Forum and their right to say no to these releasing these documents because it's against their First Amendment rights. And all of these organizations realize if this is allowed to stand, they're coming after, the government's coming after them next.
Yeah.
So that was one amicus brief. Then this is crazy. This one was filed yesterday. I haven't even read it yet. It's on our website, but I haven't read it. National Republican Redistricting Trust sent wrote an amicus brief. And then the Free Speech Coalition also wrote one, which I don't have posted on the website. I'm trying to get the filing so I can put the right one up there. But AlabamaEagle.org, right on our homepage. You can read all the court filings that we have submitted. You can see the subpoena that they wanted. They delivered it FedEx, which is very strange in the very beginning. And this is just very, very strange. But we had our 50th anniversary. Eagle Forum National just had their 50th anniversary this weekend in St. Louis. And one of my friends flew in from D.C. She sat down with me and she said, Becky, you guys are rocking it in Alabama because that's what everybody's talking about in D.C. right now. So, you know, I really appreciate everyone's support, and I hope they realize that we are fighting for not just organizations like ours, but individual citizens to be able to communicate with their legislators and not have the government come and get in their business on that. That is not their responsibility. It is not their right. And if we do not start saying no more, just like you were saying earlier, I was listening to the show over the last half hour or so, you know, it just seems like our government is completely out of control. These raids on people's homes, oh my gosh, that poor pro-life guy.
Yeah.
It is time that we stand up. And I want to say one other thing, Phil, that is so important right now. We are being told to be politically correct. That, you know, you can't call a girl a girl, even though she's standing right in front of you and you know she's a girl, but you have to call her a boy or whatever. The world is just so completely, equality is not equality and, you know, all this. If we don't take a stand and continue to speak the truth of what is the truth, don't just roll over and say their lies and start censoring yourself and, you know, being afraid to speak out, because that is how dictators take over. That is how tyranny happens. When we are so afraid to be alone, we're so afraid to be ostracized, that we start shutting ourselves up on our own volition, that is a problem. So check yourselves and start, you know, quit lying to make other people feel better.
And it's going to have to also be that people within the rank and file of the organizations where this behavior is being pushed, they have to stand up to their bosses and say, you can't do that and you can't make me do that. And be willing to lose that job, I guess, is what I'm having to say. But the reality is, mm-hmm. if Lois Lerner's people had some chutzpah and told her, we can't do this, then you wouldn't have had to go testify in front of Congress 10 years ago. And if people in the DOJ would say, you can't keep subpoenaing people like this, then we wouldn't have to have you on the radio show talk about it today. I mean, it's unreal, but it's going to take not just us in the public arena, it's going to take those members of the rank and file of those various governmental organizations saying, stop the freaking madness now.
Yes, and it's so hard for them because they are kind of in the limelight. They're the whistleblowers we were talking about earlier. That they are going to lose their jobs probably for what they're doing. But I tell you, to save our country, it's worth it, and we have to just keep doing that. And one way you can do that is meet in groups, keep your family strong, keep going to church. You need to be around people because when you start isolating yourself, then it's much easier to roll over.
Well, my friend, we're up against the break. Tell them where they can find out more about you or how to support what Eagle Forum does.
Yes, we'd love your support. AlabamaEagle.org. And mark your calendars for November 15th. We are going to be having Michelle Bach at our big banquet in Birmingham. We'll have more details on that in the next day or two. But anyway, we would love to have your support. And thanks again for having me on. It's always great being on with you.
Thanks, Becky. We appreciate you. Stay in the fight. All right. That's a great interview. It's always a great interview with her. I meant to say this to her on the air a moment ago. She's like a magnet for government action. I mean, which of us has had to deal with this once in our lifetimes? And she's on the second go round right now. But they picked on the wrong one, man. I'm just telling you, my friend Becky, she's not going to sit still. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We will come right back and wrap this segment up. She mentioned it. I'm going to bring it up. Again, the last piece of my section on weaponization of government, yep, it's that pro-life activist who had 20 armed FBI agents come to his house because of a year-old misdemeanor that had already been kicked out of court once. Wow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. All right, listen, this whole section of weaponization of government, and by the way, don't take me for some kind of anti-government, you know, we need to do away with all government. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I mean, even Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, meaning he acknowledged that there was a place for governance. Here's the thing. Government can get bloated. Government can get too big. Government can get out of hand. Government can begin to oppress those it's designed to support. The government should be there for us, not on top of us. I mean, law and order is a big deal. And there's a place, our foundational documents say it, there's a place for the organization of government to do things like, you know, ensure domestic tranquility, establish justice. It's just, these things are important. Essential services are still essential. And so I get it. There is a role for government. And government costs money. I'm not dumb. I get that too. But when you get so big that you can start wasting time and money, when you get so big that you can begin deciding that the people you are there to support matter less than the job that you have because you're government, then it's gone too far. Classic example of weaponization of government, the most recent story that we've got on this, is this egregious situation with the guy named Mark Houck. You heard me talk about it on the show. Well, I'm going to bring it up again. Fox News story dated two days ago, September 27th. Lawyer for pro-life activist arrested by the FBI blasts the outrageous abuse of power from DOJ, calls it pure intimidation. So you may recall this guy, Mark Houck. He's a Catholic pro-life activist. He makes no bones about it. He's an activist, but he's not a radical. literally the bulk of what he does is to drive a couple hours from his home twice a week and pray the rosary in front of abortion clinics. And they hate him. They hate him because he shows up and sometimes he'll even pray on his knees in front of abortion clinics. Well, that's scary. I mean, you can't have that. That's dissension. Insurrection! I mean, come on. But the reality is, Mark Houck has been doing this for a number of years, and they can't stand him. Well, not too long ago, it was a while ago, October of last year, the story that we're beginning to see as it came out in fragments, but now is beginning to piece together into one woven, you know, fabric of the entire piece, the totality of the circumstances are that Mark Houck was with his young son, 12 years old. They were praying in front of a abortion center, a Planned Parenthood center. And this guy that works there as a volunteer couldn't stand it that they were there praying. And he began to get in the face of Houck's 12-year-old son, screaming at him, obscenities, being completely obnoxious. And Houck pushed him away to say, basically saying, get away from my son. Well, when he pushed him away, the guy apparently stumbles and falls down. So what happens? He presses charges. He calls the police. It's assault. Now we're finding out now the police showed up and they didn't see it. They didn't see something there that was that big of a deal. I mean, literally, the Philadelphia Police Department confirmed here in the article I've got that officers responded to the Planned Parenthood clinic on the afternoon of October 13th, but that Houck was not arrested and no charges were filed. The 72-year-old man who was, quote-unquote, pushed to the ground by Houck only had a scrape on his right arm. Horrible. Horrible. It says, then the Philadelphia District Attorney also declined to prosecute Houck over the incident. So what happened? So the guy who alleges he was pushed down, he filed suit. He was going to sue him. He was going to get some money out of him. He was going to make an example of him. And then didn't bother showing up for his first hearing, and so the case was dismissed. Huh. And then now, almost a year later, pretty much 11 months to the day, 20 federal agents came to Mark Houck's house early in the morning, pounding on the door, admittedly had their weapons out, and took him into custody on a violation of what they call the FACES Act. It's basically a law that says you can't prevent people from entering into an abortion clinic. It's ridiculous. He wasn't preventing anybody. He had a worker there who came out and accosted his young son, and he pushed him out of the way to protect his son. And what happens? He's got 20 armed agents at his house in front of his wife and seven children, in front of his wife and seven children, taking him into custody. Well, his lawyer says that what we're seeing right now is an abuse of process. He says, this case is being run out of Washington, D.C., directed by the highest levels of the Department of Justice against an innocent man because he had the temerity to advocate and pray on the public sidewalk in favor of his pro-life convictions. Folks, there are some people in the FBI right now that ought to be going back to their offices ashamed of their role in that moment. And they need to be speaking out on why they were directed to take 20 armed agents to the house of a misdemeanor offense that was a year old. That crap's got to stop. All right, we're going to switch gears. Coming up next, I'm going to number 2, Nord Stream sabotage. This one is weird. We'll talk about it. Be right back.